This is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 international license. Enjoy the episode. Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. Oh, yes, sir. I can boogie, but I need some Robot Wars. Boogie, 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 Series 4! I'm Alan!
I'm confused.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we start our coverage of Robot Wars Series 4 with Episode A. And the champ is here!
Now that's a reference I got.
Okay, Captain. So, can you tell I'm happy about Scotland qualifying for their first tournament since I was 7?
It still is sports ball.
Yep. It was horrible to watch at times. It was, seeing the extra time, I was just sitting there all the time going, oh no, Serbia are going to win this. But David Marshall came in and saved the day, which, hooray. So,
here comes to save the day.
So we're into Series 4 of Robot Wars, and the more I think about it, having watched the first four episodes that we're covering in this recording, this is
that
the
these
Robot
potentially
War
could be the best episodes.
I still think of the Series 5 studio as the best studio, but this one's still pretty iconic. I mean, you've got, this is the first series where they've got everything in the box.
Yeah, because like obviously Series 5 is where they've essentially perfected the arena to the point where they used it until it got cancelled. But Season 4 is like, you can tell that this is kind of the, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like kind of, it's the same, but it's not been perfected. Yes, that is the exact word, the prototype, the sort of, the bare bones sort of one that they build on, and then as soon as they built on that, they found perfection.
Yeah. So, we start up with a very fired up Craig Charles.
Oh yeah.
He's definitely had his coffee this time. Well, at least I hope it's coffee. The one thing that is weird is every shot of Craig Charles, that certainly the first four episodes, everything is looking up at him.
Yeah.
It's weird looking. He's kind of scrolling it into the camera, and it's...
Yeah, there's a lot of him shooting down the barrel of the camera.
Yeah.
like he's trying to climb out of your television. Like he's like he's the little girl from the
he's
ring.
Samara.
Hey.
So we reintroduce the house robots. There's no real major changes in any of them.
No major changes.
Not yet. I mean, I know there's a few major changes into series 5.
Yeah, because I actually put in the notes, I thought this was the season where Matilda got her flywheel, but evidently not.
So, we then have a new house robot introduced, which is the RefBot.
I know, it was just such a uninspiring, unexciting like introduction. It's just Craig Charles goes, this is RefBot, then pats him in the head, and it's like, he's a ref.
There's a couple of things. First of all, it didn't have the countdown clock on this version, which I thought that was there from the beginning, the countdown.
Yeah, because like it, when you kind of watch RefBot in series 4, it doesn't really have much of a role without the clock.
It's an on-site fire extinguisher, and I take it its job, because there used to be a house robot called Shove, I think it was called.
Yeah.
Which used to serve as basically, it would get the carcass of the robot to the staff.
A sweeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this basically, RefBot took over that duty. So RefBot actually did more work off camera than on camera, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of someone doing work off camera.
Hey now.
Philippa's not going to be our Pitts reporter this year because she unfortunately is a little bit incredibly pregnant.
I thought it was nice for her to actually show up, like just to kind of do this, rocking her awesome black leather jacket like she was from The Matrix.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And then I wrote, rocking her awesome black leather jacket and the baby bump, who at this point I'm pretty sure could probably drink and drive and own its own house.
Yeah, though it never saw Scotland play in a major tournament.
well, if he was watching this past weekend or whenever the fuck the game was,
this past Thursday.
Yeah. There you go. Didn't even know when it fucking happened. So yeah, this all leads to the introduction of Julia Reed, the new pit crew girl for season 4.
Yep, and I think she's got a kind of thankless task here because it's no matter how good she is, and no doubt she's good. When you've just it's kind of like whoever the feck becomes the replacement driver for Lewis Hamilton, you're always going to have this giant shadow over you.
Yeah, like the expectation, and it's never gonna you're never gonna live up to the hype, no matter how much you try.
I mean, it's I'll put it this way: if she'd been put on the BattleBots presentation team at this stage, she'd have been a revelation. So Julia Reed kind of gets introduced. At least she seems to have some degree of understanding of what's going on. Well,
yeah,
she's done some research.
Unlike Ulrika Johnson when she'd done the first season of Techno Games and had a fucking no clue what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So we also get introduced to the fact that in the 16 heats, there's going to be 2 seeded robots in each episode.
Yep, and since I'm the list guy, I took the list, and now I'll read you the list.
Well, I've got the list as well, so do you want to interchange?
Okay.
So starting with seed number 1, the current...
Wait, no, you got to go from 32 down to 1, you can't start with 1.
Alright, fine. Starting at 32, one of the robots that represented Britain in BattleBots, Suicidal Tendencies.
31, Centurion.
30, for some reason, Stinger. Apparently, there was a mix-up. Apparently, people thought that this was... because there was a third Sting robot that was meant to come out.
Oh, yeah?
Well, that's what the talk is. Apparently, a lot of people don't think Stinger kind of got here accidentally.
Maybe it was, I know, because I was wondering this as well. It's like, it got seeded 30 for losing its first match by driving into the pit. But maybe, like, because this is the year they have that big axe thing on it, the infamous stinger weapon. So maybe it was just that they were put here for, like, you know, there was, like, a lot of promise for it, like, going forward. I know it's confusing the fact that, like, we're talking about a robot called Sting and a robot called Stinger.
Yeah.
Number 29, I'm sure that you've probably seen this a lot recently, but it's Dreadnought XP1.
Yep, absolutely.
And that being the reference that as delivery drivers, well, I'm postman, but I'm still delivering shit. XP1 is what gets written on everybody's scanner now. So like when we scan a parcel and we need a signature, we don't let anybody touch the scanner. So we write XP1
right.
in the thing.
I've got a different call sign, but yeah, similar idea.
Okay. But yeah, we need to write XP1. So the day they were like, just write XP1 in your thing. And I was just like, Dreadnought XP1. Obviously, nobody got it.
Yep. 28. Those devastating hammer and robot wars. Weldall 2.
27 is Sir Chromalot.
Well, a little enthusiasm, please.
Sir Chromalot.
26, it's those Plunderbird boys with Plunderbird 4.
So much so that it even like shows them singing their little song.
Yep.
25, it is Shadow of Napalm.
Which apparently has the same internals. It's just the shell that's different, apparently.
Yeah, which makes me believe, like, they probably didn't even fix that flipper to actually work.
No, that's the Mandibullet motor. Who knows?
Maybe. And if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure that... What's his name? It's going to come to me in a second.
Crosby?
Yes, thank you. I'm pretty sure on the episode, he says, yeah, this robot sucks. 24, yeah.
The robot that was able to survive Hypnodisc... Berserk 2.
And deserves its seating because of that.
Absolutely.
And at C23, Mortis.
Which I think's a bit low, because I think this version of Mortis is cracking. We'll get to that.
Yeah. You know, like maybe if we looked at this as the scenes came out, we could argue that, but then because we watched the episode as well, like, you know, it's like... Well, it's the hindsight kind of thing.
We'll get to that. So, 22 is Exterminator 2, which seems like a high ranking, but it's fairly well earned. It was a solid robot.
Yeah, yeah. I would say so. It's kind of interesting to see some of these rankings in terms of, like, I mean, as we kind of said with Stinger, the way that it got, like, the 30th seed by losing its first match by driving into the pit. Yeah. And it's that kind of thing, but... Like, I feel like they were really stretching just to have the whole 32 seeds gimmick.
Yeah.
C21 is Deator.
Which should have been seed 13, because my God, it's cursed this season.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes so wrong for them.
Yep, it goes tits up, almost literally and figuratively.
Yep. No, well, it doesn't have tits. That would make it overweight.
Nah.
20th is the only robot to progress by purely not being completely and utterly annihilated, Agrobot 2.
Inquisitor.
I have no idea how this got up here this high.
Probably purely for the fact that it beat Razor, technically.
Technically.
Yeah. That's the thing. On paper, that is a win that will never be expunged from the annals of Robot Wars history. Agrobot did defeat Razor. Yeah. Now, if you watch the match,
yeah,
you know, you'll see a completely different story. But
yeah.
in those record books or the wiki, as more accurately, you know, that's a win that will always be there.
Yep. Yeah.
Number 19, Pussycat. Pussycat.
Which I think isn't. All things considered, is a shockingly low ranking.
Yeah. Even
yes, you can argue, yes, the last two seasons they've gone out in the heats, but one of those times it went out, it was not through any... It wasn't for a lack of skill or ability or technical know-how. Well,
last year was Pussycat's debut, man.
Aye, and it was... I mean, it was. It defeated Cassius, too.
Yeah, and, I mean, it technically won its heat. It should have been in the semi-finals, but then obviously the Steel Blade fiasco is what took it out. So, yeah, I would probably argue that 19 is quite low for him.
So, next up is number 18, and I'm taking this as maybe for performance in the World Championship as well. It's Cerberus.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Cerberus as much as the next guy, but even I think that's quite highly ranked.
Particularly when it's above Pussycat.
Yeah, try to play that dogs are better than cats here, but...
Maybe.
But the 17th seed is King B3.
Which I think is a fairly well-earned ranking.
Yeah, I would say so.
One that I am a bit surprised at, the 16, is Killer Hurts.
Yes, agreed.
It's a weird place to put it in the rankings. It's Killer Hurts has always been one of these robots that it looked great, but it never...
performed great.
Yeah, the only time it's really performed is in America.
Yeah. And then, Jesus, if you watch that last season of BattleBots that we just did, that didn't even do that great that season.
Absolutely not.
I remember I did not like Killer Hurts as a kid growing up. I don't know why. I think it maybe it's just because I thought it sucked because it always lost. And so, but like always in like pure bizarre fashion. And, but like, I mean, looking back now, like obviously with, you know, more adult eyes, I can see like why it was considered to be good. But it's just always that kind of thing, as I say, of like, It looks good, and when it performs, it performs, but it's just always like kind of unlucky. Yeah. And it is making me look forward to Terahertz, because obviously Terahertz is like an incredible machine, and they still use like essentially still use the same kind of thing for Beta as well. That's in the up and coming season of BattleBots, December 3rd. It's going to be.
Yeah.
Number 15 is Wheelie Big Cheese.
Which seems like a high ranking when you go, oh, it's only a Heat finalist. Yeah, it's a Heat finalist against the defending champion, having had two of those dominating displays of any robot up until that point.
And maybe they gave a slightly high seeding because of the outrage of the amount of damage that Sir Kellogg done to the Big Cheese.
I get the impression Roger Plant's not a guy you want to piss off.
No.
So, next up is a robot that's maybe a bit surprising with its ranking, and certainly with this version of the robot, Bigger Brother.
Yeah, I think like with Bigger Brother and Wheelie Big Cheese, being the fact that they are new versions of old robots, maybe it's again like the kind of thing I said about Stinger with the way that they have looked at the new version of the robot and they see promise in it. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why they're getting ranked higher.
I don't know. Anyway, next up is
Gravedigger,
which is the Cassius clone armored with sheets of paper last time.
Yeah, just armored with old Amazon boxes.
Yep, we're starting to get into, these are the robots that their previous iterations, most of the previous iterations of these robots from this point onwards were semi-finalists last year. There was two that didn't, which was Blade, there was meant to be a sequel to Blade, and there was meant to be a robot that was replacing, who's the other one?
Trident?
Yeah, there was meant to be a new Trident, and there was meant to be a new Blade. And both of those failed, you know, didn't come through, which is how Suicidal Tendencies and Centurion got on the list. And it also had other effects that we will talk about later.
Okay.
Because it had one other key influence, which I'll mention when we announce who's in this episode.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So next up,
number
12 is Evil Weevil 2, which is now in Goldy orange?
Really? I think it kind of looks brown and diarrhea coloured.
I mean, we're not going to see it for long, so
I don't like this iteration of Evil Weevil. I thought the old one was, well, the old one looked better anyway.
Yeah.
And evidently, from what I can remember, yeah, it definitely performed better.
Yep.
Number 11, it's Wild Thing.
Which is starting to reach its proper evolution now.
Mm-hmm.
Still one of the best robots never to make a grand final.
Yeah. Oh, man, I cannot wait for that episode.
Yep.
Wild that Thing versus fight. Chaos 2.
Oh, yes.
So number 10 is?
Spawn of Scutter, which is by the same team that made Scutter's Revenge. This time the robot is a invertible wedge pushing robot with a super powerful spike.
Oh, hell yeah. I cannot wait.
Yep.
So I would assume like number 10 is probably where Pussycat would be if Pussycat got out of the heat.
I actually think Pussycat, in all seriousness,
probably could have potentially got higher.
Yeah, I mean, could have got higher. I mean, that we see how well it does this season.
Yeah.
I don't know that it necessarily would have got a grand final, but it wouldn't have been far off.
Yeah, because I mean, this is the season where they bring in the infamous Pussycat saw.
Yeah.
So
the weapon is a bit more effective, but other than that, I mean, the principle, it's a powerful machine. It's, you know, it takes a lot of very specific tactics to drive it, but it is a it is a powerful and effective machine, and I think it would have got further than Scutter did.
Probably.
Yeah.
So number 9 is 101.
Which begins to show its age very quickly.
Yeah, and then get stuck in for about another 3 seasons afterwards.
I think it's this season, next season, and then season 6 it's replaced.
Yeah, I may have been exaggerating a bit, but I remember in these later seasons seeing 101 is like, oh, that thing has been running into the ground.
It's not the only robot that's kind of kept in a bit longer than its time.
Oh, yes.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, because there's a shot backstage at one point where I see a certain pink robot that we spoke about.
Oh, I'm not even talking about that one.
Oh, really?
No, there's one that ages a bit, well, ages a lot worse very quickly.
Right. So, number 8 is?
Gemini. 2 for the price of 1.
I was obsessed with Gemini as a kid. Like, absolutely obsessed. I just couldn't get over the whole Clusterbot thing.
See, here's the thing. I didn't know it was a Clusterbot until the episode. Because I didn't know what Gemini meant. And the photo... Look, because I was reading Robot Wars magazine when Series 4 was getting announced. And seeing when I saw pictures of Gemini, at first I was like, what a weird shape. So it's got flippers on both sides.
It's like
a robot.
It's like 13 black with flippers.
Yeah, that's what one. That.
The only reason I knew what Gemini was is because it's my star sign.
Right.
So I knew it was something to do with there being two, despite the fact that I haven't found my long lost Gemini brother.
Oh, okay, fine, not offended. So number
I don't know,
7
like,
is...
we like quite a lot of stuff, but we are also deaf, distinctly different people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, number 7.
Steg 2.
Now with a proper flipper.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, how.
Oh, man. It's just, it is annoying, like, going back to this and going, man, Steg 2 was so awesome. What the fuck happened next year?
Well, I don't know. I think we'll have a debate on Steg 2, actually. We'll get to that in later episodes. So yeah. Number 6 is, I'm assuming because it was the runner-up in the World Championship, it's... Right. Behemoth?
Yep.
Behemoth? Oh, I don't know. Behemoth, it's always, that's what they call it in the show.
Yeah, it's always pronounced as Behemoth.
Yeah.
I would love to ask why. Why is it pronounced like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like maybe it's something pure simple, like, that the boys of Behemoth have, and it's just never been asked or explained, and just everybody kind of goes with it.
Yep. So number five, we have the other of the kind of minor grand finalists.
It's Firestorm.
Firestorm 2.
Yeah, I've just written their names. Like, other than Chaos 2, I don't think I've given any of the rest of them their numbers.
Yeah, so this is Firestorm 2, which... the heat's going to be fun to talk about.
I can't wait. Can we just do that one now?
Oh, when we get to that one, that I think we're going to have a few interesting discussions. And this,
oh, yeah.
This episode reminds me, because I always, see, like, growing up, I was like, why didn't I like Firestorm growing up? And then I watched that episode and I was like, oh, yeah, that's why.
I know. Well, I'll save it
for the episode, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I was just going to say, I always loved Firestorm, and I've never let sort of stuff like that, like, sway my like of the robot, but
yeah.
I can totally see why. But anyway, yeah, we'll get to that in a few weeks.
So, the fourth seed, it is the only other champion in the 32. It is the returning Panic Attack.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that as well, because there's no Roadblock or Beast of Bodmin here, so...
They retired, they chose to retire, and they announced in advance, like, they said, they let people
not coming
go
back.
In advance, no, we're not coming back, this is the last.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, fair enough, I mean, it's, if you built a robot in college and you're now going into full-time work...
Yeah.
Which is probably, you know, timeline-wise, is probably where they're at. I don't know what the rest of them are doing, but I know one of the guys is running his own business now in turbines.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I said all that mainly to say, if Roblox did return, where do you think they would be ranked? Because they would definitely be in the top 32, easily. Yeah.
I would say possibly... it may be a little high. I'd put them kind of 9-10.
See, that was exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And I'd say the clout of being the first ever champion, Robot Wars champion, and then made it to the grand final of season 2, made it to the...
semi-finals. I mean, maybe that would be... maybe even 5.
I think 5's a bit too high. I'd say between, like, 10 and 8, maybe. Like, that's sort of one of those three.
Interestingly, Panic Attack is the only one of the top 7 that didn't make either the Grand Final or the World Championship Finals.
Yeah. Hell, it lost the first round of the World Championships.
Yep, absolutely. So, number 3.
Yep. It's her boy. It's Razor.
It is the defending world champion.
The defending everything except the UK championship champion.
Razor, which currently in the British Championship has a fight record of 1 win to 2 losses.
Yeah. And who else can boast such a low record and be in the top 5?
Rank the third, yeah.
Then number 2?
Number 2, it is the defending runner-up. And now with Spikes and the Self-Writer, it is the deadliest weapon in current Robot Wars, Hypnodisc.
Yeah. Which leaves us with the Mac Daddy, the grand champion of them all.
The big cheese. Well, the conqueror of the cheese.
The, the tribal chief himself. Accept him as your tribal chief. It is Chaos 2.
So, Chaos 2 is back, and not only is he back to defend this championship, but he's back tonight!
Back in black! It's Zach.
Yep.
Which is appropriate because he is actually black.
Yep.
Hi guys, Alan.
And the Grizz.
Here with a slight break from the main show. Just say thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to TechnoX, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out TechnoX on YouTube or their website at technoax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
So I feel like we've done about as much talking about anything that isn't actual robot fights as they did, because it was nearly about 20 minutes or so before we got to our first match.
I mean, the other two things that what you'll find is, because it's such a quick episode.
Yeah.
So there's a couple more changes. So there is, first of all, the way that they're working the seeding is they're going the 1st and the 16th, 2nd and the 17th, and so on down to the 16th and the 32nd, which I think is the wrong way to do it.
Okay, how would you do it?
I would do it the opposite way, kind of ascending, descending, so have the robot...
1 and 32?
1 and 32, like March Madness, that's the same idea. The college basketball. You have the strongest seed against the weakest seed, because and then you work them up and then you work them together, which would have meant we would have the following matches. Chaos 2 versus Suicidal Tendencies.
Yep.
Hypnodisc versus Centurion.
Mm-hmm.
Razor versus Stinger.
Mm-hmm.
Panic Attack versus Dreadnought.
Yep.
Firestorm versus Weldor.
Yep.
Bearmoth versus the Chromalot. Steg 2 versus Plunderbird.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Gemini versus Shadow of Napalm.
Well, we know how that match happens.
Oh God, yes. Berserk 2 versus 101.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Spawn of Scutter versus Mortis. That would be good.
Exterminator versus Wild Thing.
Yeah.
Evil Weaver versus Deotior.
Deotior. Yep.
Deotior.
Whatever you want to call it.
Agrobot.
Huh?
Pussycat versus Big Umbrella.
Hmm?
Cerberus, the soon-to-be flying dog, against Wheelie Big Cheese.
And so that leaves King B3 and Killer Hearts.
That would have been the way I would have done it, but what do I know? I'm not a TV producer. And also, it means that you're kind of... Because the issue I see with that as well is it means that you're getting Killer Hearts and Suicidal Tendencies, and, you know, it's, with the greatest deal of respect, not exact... Well, Killer Hearts might be, but they're not exactly robots that are big draws.
Yeah, must-see robots.
Now, the other thing as well that's key is the fact I mentioned, as I said, there was a Blade 2 and the Trident 2, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them were ranked above King B3.
Okay.
Because originally, King B3 was the 19th seed, which meant that it was the robot facing Razor. And that's why that
King
B3.
King B3, a nice boxy robot.
Nice for flat Razor. Surface.
Yes.
Yes. So how does its replacement Pussycat go? We'll find out next week.
So I don't seem to remember. Is Altok or any of those iterations in this season at all?
Altok is... I think it's the plastic hippo this time. It's either the plastic hippo or small talk. I can't remember.
Yeah, when I say small talk, I think hippopotamus, or fighting talk, as it's sometimes called, is next season, because that's kind of what it shows up in Extreme.
Yeah.
Oh, Extreme, that's going to be fun.
Oh, yes.
Right, shall we actually get into some robot fighting time?
Yep. So we've got two triple threats. The winners of those and the survivor of those then take into the next round. The seeds are deliberately kept apart in the semi-finals. Mm-hmm. So it's the if both seeds get through, it's the seeded robot versus the non-seeded robot from the other fight. And then the final is whoever the last two robots are.
Yes. But then we also have two games in between each section of fights. So we have a run at the Pinball Warrior Championship between the two melees and the second round. And then between the second and third rounds, we have the Sumo Basho.
Indeed. But so, I think there's more stuff on top of that, because it's... They'll run out of robots to do the sumo if they're doing 2 a week. I can't remember if something.
Yeah, I think they just kind of stop. Yeah, there you go. Small talk was in season 4.
Right. Okay.
So that was kind of plexiglass looking robot with a weird desk.
Oh yeah, I remember it now.
So it goes to show that it didn't do very well.
Yeah.
So it's us. Oh, sweet. What a lineup. Splinter, Centurion, Smalltalk, Eric. Eric.
I know, I'm leaving the pause to the music.
Eric.
Yes, Eric. Shall we get to this week's episode? Come on.
But Eric. Okay, let's do it.
So we have our first battle.
From Shropshire, Indefatigable.
Which is a six-wheeled forklift robot in blue.
Yeah, when they're backstage, Julia's like, oh, this kid has a nice message about Robot Wars. It's not the winning, it's the taking part that counts. It's like, yeah, you remember that, kid.
Yeah, you've just been told you're fighting the defending champion, haven't you?
Yep. From Worcester. Worcester? Yeah, sure. From Worcester, Atomic.
So this is a robot that we're going to see for the rest of Robot Wars.
Yep.
This particular version is clear plastic, with a yellow chassis, though it does seem to lose the armor in the sides, I notice. So same.
Yeah,
it says it has
armor on the sides, but then when it's in
place,
it's
not
there.
It does in the build-up, Matt. It does in the build-up video, but it's gone by the first match. So I don't know if it's maybe just a touch overweight. Obviously not by much if removing two sheets of plastic's enough, but. Actually, not a dissimilar concept to Chaos 2 in terms of it's a rear hinged flipper, also Atomic, very distinctive flipper shape, the blade with two arms.
Yeah, clearly this is the very, you know, kind of prototype version of Atomic that it starts to evolve over time. And I mean, to be honest, Bice, it does take season 6 off by the looks of things from its Wikipedia, but season 7, I remember Atomic being quite the robot to beat.
Yeah, though it's
so it's gonna be fun to watch this kind
of
evolution. Of
Robot Wars is one of Atomic's matches in series 7.
Awesome.
Though not the one Atomic would want me to remember.
And from Ipswich, the reigning champion, Chaos 2.
Shiny again. Literally the only thing that seems to have been spent on it is its
gloves.
Its glossed. It's got some gloss paint on it. It's been unscratched. So it's the defending champion. Costs a quarter of the amount of Atomic.
Yep.
And a
fraction of a lot of other robots as well.
And this match has the feeling of, right, who are the two most jobbiest, schlubbiest robots we can throw in? Because it is an absolute squash.
Oh, it is a massacre. Right, there's a few like other wee odds and ends that I have. Like, because so one other thing that they do is, which they started in season 3, is Julia starts to run about the backstage, and Kera like walks up to all the robots like in advance of the episode, and there was one part where she walked up to Atomic and said something along the lines of, oh, it's got the same kind of weapon as Chaos 2, like with a flipper, but I know who my money would be on. And then like as she started to walk away, the kid at Atomic just turned around and looked at her like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, it's
she has a couple of them over the next couple episodes where she just kind of says things, and it's just like they probably aren't meant to come off as bad sounding as they end up doing sometimes, but
yeah,
just like some of the reaction to some of the people is just like, really, you're going to say that in front of me?
It's, yeah, absolutely.
I think I have another one later on, so I'll try and keep on top of that. And then the other note that I had is, there was about 3 or 4 times in this, from the start of the episode to this match starting, where they showed Chaos 2 flipping Crocodilotron. It's like they love to show that clip.
I mean, to be fair, it is an awesome clip.
Yeah. I mean, it is in the way that, like, Crocodilotron is such a massive robot.
Yeah.
That is, so Chaos 2 and their thing, they literally just say, yeah, we've done nothing to the robot, but you know.
Why would you need to?
exactly. But is it Ian or Richard? Is Richard the older gentleman?
Yeah, I think so.
He's like, the only thing that's changed is me cutting off my beard in a desperate attempt to look younger.
Which, you can tell, he's trying to throw some witty banter, but he just can't quite pull it off.
Oh, man. So, yeah, you kind of had the nail on the head. This was an absolute massacre, so Chaos 2 just comes out really quickly.
At one point, Atomic manages to Shreemek, but then his weapon gets stuck.
Yeah, exactly, because Atomic was the first one to get flipped over, and JP was like, oh, it's okay, it's got a Shreemek, it's fine. Like, then it flips itself back over, and then Agable just gets, like, it kind of just gets, like, caught in the lip of the flipper and just kind of just slightly rolls over. And JP was like, oh, well, Indefatigable doesn't have one.
Yeah.
And then the greatest shot of this, you know, your first match in season 4, bang, Chaos 2 flips Atomic right into a camera.
Yeah. And that camera saves Atomic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he was going out.
Uh-huh. And instead it's Indefatigable that gets the honour of being the second ever out of the arena.
I know. I wonder if the sort of walls were made slightly smaller, like, or lower, so that out of the arenas can be a bit more easy to do.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I actually think they're higher than the previous season. They certainly get higher.
Yeah.
And then you get the reboot where it's virtually impossible for huge chunks of the arena.
Yeah, exactly. Except for like that one teeny tiny area.
Yeah.
That everybody just goes for.
Absolutely.
Chaos 2 obviously advances, and because Atomic is still in the arena, Atomic also gets to advance.
Yep.
So it's not the taking part that counts.
Being thrown at the arena.
Well, we tried.
Yeah.
I mean, may not have tried very much, but tried. So we'll move on to the next triple threat had from Manchester, Medusa 2000.
Which is a plastic wedge bot that instead of having a flipper, has basically a flipper on its underside that, causes it to lift itself up.
Yeah, it was very odd.
It's an interesting idea. I don't know that it works particularly, but yeah, it's it also has a drum spinner, which has such famous moments as I don't think it hits anything actually at all.
it's other famous moments as it was there.
Yes.
And their opponents from Southampton, Attila the Drum.
Which I seem to distinctly remember, so I don't know if this comes back for a few seasons or not.
It's definitely an Annihilator. It does say it's only in season 4, but yeah.
It
performed well in the Southern Annihilator.
Oh, yeah, I know Attila the Drum.
So yeah, I for some reason, seem to remember it being in more than just one season, but there you go.
So it's a thwackbot with a... It's got a chain on the end of it with a... Oh, what's the term? It's not a morning star.
A mace?
Yeah, I suppose mace is probably the best term for it. Sharpened, but basically a sharpened mace, which means it's not a mace, but okay.
Also, the fact that the team is called Team BattleBot. I smell lawsuit.
No, it's BattleBot, not BattleBots.
Mm. All right. I'll let you away with that one.
Yep.
And from Portsmouth, seeded number 17, King B3.
My shiny boy's gone.
Yeah.
So this is the King Buxton effectively that we will have until... Well, actually in the reboot as well. So
yeah,
the clear plastic, the red spikes, the sore on the back.
The little tinge of blue.
Yeah.
I'm literally flicking through all the photos of King Buxton, like from season 4 onwards, and yeah, there's very little that changes about this robot. Except season 7, it's a bit more uniquely shaped.
Yeah. So this is... King Buxton, the same team that, as I said, in my opinion, would have been a very serious contender in Series 2 had things gone a bit better.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that they keep on talking about throughout this episode is, when's it going to go on fire? When's it going to go on fire?
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is, it runs super hot.
Yeah. And I think it says it also works on petrol or something along those lines.
I think this version does. Basically, it's in a position where it's running, it's simultaneously running super hot and it's got some combustible elements here.
There was one part where, this was again when Julia kind of went up to them to talk to them. She called it King Buxton III, and then even at the bottom, it came up King Buxton III. And then when it goes at the arena, it becomes King B3. So there must have been like a weird sort of change. I know the dog agrees with me, clearly.
Yeah. So this match, This match confuses me.
Well, I only have like 3 lines of notes for this because it wasn't entirely a fun. Well, it's like the melees are fun, but yeah, it, like not very much happened in it.
Yeah.
One of the other notes I have is when King Buxton's like kind of stats came up, and in the note section for it, it says 99.9% Simon's money.
Yeah.
Which amused me. So yeah, really the only things I have for this match is Attila the Drum is far too slow for the type of robot it is in terms of being a whackbot, you need to be distinctly speedier.
Yeah.
And then
Medusa is kind of there throughout the fight. Doesn't do anything that interesting.
Yeah.
It just kind of tootles around. Now, one thing that does happen is Attila catches fire.
It sure does.
The tassels catch fire.
Yeah, it was amusing when it was just the tassels that caught fire. It was just these two dangling bits of fire.
I actually wondered if it was a deliberate tactic. I was like, Oh, are they going to have, like, flaming chains as a weapon?
Well, that's kind of what, when they were doing their backstage bit, they were like, the chick on the team, which, for some reason, I really remember, but I cannot think. I'm like, it can't be from this team, surely. Like, but she was like, oh, and here is the fur and the tassels that we have on the side of the robot so that they burn and will die. So, yeah. I think having the sort of fur there is definitely, like, was a planned thing to, you know, try and set it alight, even if it's just for fun. But to be honest, that thing engulfed in flames driving it, yeah, I don't know if I would exactly be too thrilled.
Yeah, I'm just having a look. No, because one of the team members does sharpen the team for Jackson Wallop.
Yeah.
But I don't know if... But anyway, so,
yeah. I don't know. When I seen her, it's like, oh, it's you. And it's like, wait, why am I acting like I recognize you like a lot? Like, I was pretty convinced that she was in another team or something like that. But nevertheless, anyway.
Anyway, so... The Medusa and Attila are noticeably more aggressive than Medusa. So Attila and King B are aggressive, are kind of bashing about, and Medusa just kind of tootles around, doesn't do anything spectacular, but I suppose doesn't set itself on fire or anything like that.
But I mean, all that's cosmetic.
So we get a judge's decision. It's Noel Sharkey, Martin Smith, and Dr. Myra Wilson. Is this the first time Myra Wilson's been a judge?
Right, sure it is, yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame, because I actually would love to... I think... And it's something I do like in later series. They actually talk to the judges.
Yeah.
Because they're just kind of there.
Yeah, they're just like... They're like bodies that are just there, and they do literally nothing other than... They show them and go, oh, they're judging this Robot Wars match.
And particularly because we know that Professor Noel Sharkey is a fantastically charismatic figure. Martin Smith, yeah. Not as much, but he still has, you know, he's still a very interesting guy to hear talk. And I'm sure
he's more of the straight man, I would say.
Sorry?
Like, he's more of the straight man, whereas Noel Sharkey, like, while he knows a shit ton of stuff, like, as the charismatic one, but, like, you know, Martin Smith is the more, if you really want to get down to the interesting details, then he's kind of more the guy.
Well, certainly that's the way they were presented in Techno Games. We'll see if that's...
Yeah.
But anyway, so their judgment is that Attila the Drum was the weakest robot.
Yeah, and even the fans booed that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah, like, and I even wrote, like, yeah, I kind of agree as well. Like, as you say, like, Medusa didn't do anything and managed to scrape through.
Yep.
And plus with Medusa in the second round now matched up against Chaos 2, Attila the Drum versus Chaos 2 might have been quite interesting, because Attila was a big, big robot.
Absolutely. Hey, guys. Alan here. Just taking a quick break from... the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the botcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots.
So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode.
But before we get on to Medusa versus Chaos 2, we get the Pinball Warrior tournament.
Absolutely. So the Pinball Warrior, so the first entrant we have in this new version of the Pinball Warrior tournament is 101.
101. Yeah, so it goes, 101 goes for the barrels early on, gets a couple of barrels. It kind of goes for the ramp, but...
Right, I'm going to talk about this. This annoys me, because this happens in every single run.
Yeah.
They need to stick down the ramp. They need to nail it to the floor.
Yeah. Because like it's not fair when you're trying to do something and Sir Killalot just comes up and just goes, nah, fuck you.
Yeah, it's I do think it is a bit ridiculous.
Because it's one of those things where it's like, oh, Sir Killalot has freedom the whole arena. It's like, really? That's that of all robots having freedom the whole arena is kind of ridiculous. So you're trying to dodge this thing that takes up about 10% of the arena?
It doesn't actually have the control of the arena by the end. I mean, there's one or two runs it's dead metal. Which I think actually be a more interesting one is have it be the OG4 as your robots, and what to even do is like rotate them round. So one time it's Bash, one time it's Matilda, one time it's dead, you know, so that it's not just people watching and going, oh, it's dead metal, I'll use this tactic.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway.
Because like all four of them like have been shown that they can be defeated in terms of if you have the right weapon, like, so it's kind of, I mean, like, but practically nobody can defeat Sir Killalot because he's practically unkillable.
Well, he's multiple times the weight of all the other robots, so
yeah. And I just think it's just not fit. It's like it's too overpowering, and so like not only are you sometimes trying to dodge around like Matilda or Sergeant Bash or Shun or whatever to get one of those targets, but then like while you're trying to do that, Sir Killalot's creeping up behind you as well, and so you're getting sandwiched between two house robots. So I don't know.
So
I feel like it's hard enough without Sir K being there.
To actually go through the run, 101, I don't know what happened. It just doesn't seem to have as much control as I would expect. It's just kind of really jerky.
Yeah, it's like, it kind of goes in, like, it goes for the barrels, and then it's just kind of, he just kind of sits there, it's like, what now?
Yeah.
And then it almost takes too long to decide what it wants to do, and then...
I mean, it does get the 75 target, which is good.
Yeah, but then it tries to go for, like, the car door at the end, and then gets stuck on the side of it.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it had like a very clear run up, I don't know how that managed to happen.
Yeah, so
it ends with 125 points.
Yeah. So 50 plus the target. The one thing that I did find quite annoying as well is I don't get the sound effects. They're just a bit silly.
I know, but to be honest, that's what pinball machines do.
I know. But come on, come here, pod dog. Come on. So, Jesse, come on. You're a pod dog now. Congratulations, you're on a podcast, Jesse. What you got to say? Oh, now you've not got anything to say. You're sitting there moaning away the whole time, but now you're just like, no, I just want a hug.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it sounds as if she got her fill in a minute ago.
Yep. So, yeah, right. 101, not a fantastic run in the pinball.
Well, it did get first place, so good for him.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's not going to be the worst run we see.
Hope. So we'll move on to Chaos 2 versus Medusa, and
which is a ragdolling.
I love how like before the match they go up to George Francis, and he tries really hard.
He is trying so hard to go. No, we need to take them seriously.
No, they're invertible. They're definitely invertible. They're a challenge. They're a worthy opponent. No, they're not.
No. Because the match starts and it just flips Medusa all around the place, even to the point where it flips it on its side, which is weird because it has like those weird sticky wings at the front to prevent it from being stuck on its side.
Yeah.
And then if Chaos just left it there, I reckon it probably would have been done for, but they flipped it again.
Yeah. Oh, Chaos 2's having fun.
Oh, yeah. And then I think this might have been the end of the match where, or like after the match, where Julia was interviewing them again and George was saying that, yeah, we were running out of flips by the end of that fight.
Which, that's the first time I've heard the talk of, oh, Chaos 2 can run out of gas. The one thing I did love is, you know that thing where we've mentioned, I forgot how effective Sergeant Bash's claws. He gets a nice tasty, tasty wheel.
Bet your Rero was jealous of that one.
Oh, yes. And then Sakilalot rips the tire off another one.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Just the point where, like, all the house robots were just swarming it, and then just one of the tires just goes, ugh. It just kind of plops off. And, yeah, this is the point where they were speaking to Craig Charles, and one of the members of Medusa was a bit annoyed and was like, oh, they're a bit eager, aren't they? And Craig Charles says, well, you drove into their zone, of course they're allowed to attack you. And
yeah, it's kind of like you drove into a CPZ stun, you can't argue there.
And then he's like, you're not complaining, are you? And then he goes, behave yourself, and points at him, and then the look at that dude's face is like, fuck you.
I do like Craig Charles is this kind of mixture of, he's taking it seriously, but he's having so much fun with it.
Yeah, you got to have fun making fun.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, because this is obviously isn't going to be the last time that we talk about kind of disgruntled competitors.
Yeah, absolutely not. My pod dog.
My pod dog. So we want to move on to King B3 versus Atomic.
Yeah. So, you know that thing where they'll keep on going, oh, he's going to go on fire, oh, he's going to go on fire. In the last match, King Buxton was on fire.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to what you were saying earlier about how they spoke about this going into the match, saying, ah, well, it kind of caught fire and we've already lost the drive for the forks.
Yeah.
And we kind of didn't get this match done quickly because we think it might go on fire again.
Well, I mean, this is actually quite a brutal fight, actually. It's two robots really kind of going for it. Atomic has the weapon, King Buxton has the pushing power, and then there is this moment where Atomic gets a wonderful flip, and then the blade keeps going.
Yeah.
It's like, flip! Oh, where's the blade gone?
It would be the equivalent of like you throwing your hand up, like your arm up in like victory, and then like your elbow going, just continuing to travel backwards, and your arm snapping.
And King Buxton really should be able to take advantage of this, except it's smoking.
Yep, and it's just kind of sitting there in the corner, just like kind of oh. Alan Burns, why was I programmed to feel pain?
So, this is one of the things I don't quite understand. So the pit this season seems to have like an automatic thing.
It's just off on a timer.
2 minutes, it automatically comes down, which I didn't like. I have to say, I do like the idea of having it, the fact that they have the button so that you can choose to tactically use it.
Yeah. But isn't there like some kind of unspoken rule about how that's only active after a certain amount of time as well?
Yeah, well, it's not unspoken. I know Beetleweight has, I think it's 30 seconds into the match, you can activate the pit so that you don't just
hit the pit right away and then...
Yeah.
Like, because, yeah, obviously you're still wanting this to be, you know, a competition and... It's entertainment for a TV show, so, yeah. Like, Because if that was the case, everybody would just go for the pit right away and be like, oh, well, I'm Tornado. I'll just push you in the pit and then I'll get a big stupid bit of scaffolding so I don't fall in there.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. We will be talking about that later. And just again, I need to point this out. It's not cheating.
Yes, it
you
is.
Can, no, you can accuse them of many things. You cannot accuse them of cheating. If they were cheating, they would have been disqualified. Tornado already had certain attachment ruled out because they actually built an anti-spinner weapon.
Uh-huh.
And they were told they couldn't use it. So there is precedent of, no, they've been told certain things aren't allowed and certain things were.
Still think they should have lost.
We'll get to that.
So, yeah, so King B on fire. He gets pitted and King B is out.
Yep.
So we get Chaos versus Atomic in the final.
But before that, we get 12 seconds of Suho to watch.
Brilliant. So introducing first, Spawn of Scutter.
Which does really well until Shunt gets side on.
Yeah.
Shunt's not messing about this year.
Well, I feel like he does, like, a kind of a little bit later on. I think it was against, like, Cat in a couple of episodes that he kind of does the old typical Shunt thing of, I'm going to push it to an extent, then I'm going to back up and sit for a bit, and then I'm going to throw you out.
Yeah.
So 8.3 seconds Spawn of Scutter does, and you think, well, here comes Firestorm. Firestorm will do well. And it's like, nope, Firestorm does distinctly worse by getting 4.21 seconds.
Yes, because what happens is Firestorm, the way it's designed, it lifts very slightly when it starts a run-up.
Yeah, it rears back, like kind of like a horse, like...
Which is not good when you're running into a scoop.
Nope. So essentially, like, it just gets jammed right at the top of the scoop. The wheels were off the floor. And then boom.
Shunt just there you goes, go. Bye-bye.
And then Craig Charles says there'll be more hot shoving later on.
Which, that's the After Hours version.
Where
there's 69 seeds.
Whatever you get up to in your own time, Craig, is none of my business.
Yeah. So, Atomic has prepared for their match with Chaos 2 because they've put spikes on the weapon now.
Well, I think that was to weld the shit back together.
I know.
And then this was another one of these kind of unintentionally offhanded comments that Julia made. It's like, spikes against the flipper of the reigning world champion. And it's like, well, they're not spikes. Like they said, they welded the fucking flipper back on.
Absolutely.
Needless to say, like, I literally have like three lines of notes for this. And it starts off with Atomic is flipped and flipped and flipped and flipped and flipped and flipped.
What happens? So first of all, side note, we get the first look of the two entranceways, which I do like. I do like that they get separate entrances into the arena. Secondly, what happens is Atomic gets rolled. Chaos 2's chucking it round. Chaos 2 does seem to run out of gas after a while. Because, I mean, Atomic's dead. The match is over. And Chaos 2 tries to get the out of the arena, and it just doesn't have the energy to do
it. It tries so hard.
And unfortunately for Atomic, that means Sakillalot gets near it.
Mm. And this is the point horrific. Where you realize that those plastic bits on the side aren't there. Because Sakillalot just gets like a hold of like a bit of Atomic and the whole side of the robot just crumbles.
Oh, it is horrible. You know what you were saying about looking. Why did they program to feel pain? That I was sitting there. Oh, buddy.
Yeah. Why was King Buxton programmed to feel pain? Why am I programmed to feel pain for a robot? Because that just looks painful.
And then we get a floor flipping, which isn't as if I don't know. Both Series 3 and especially Series 4, the floor flippers are a little weak.
Yeah. It just kind of like topples a robot over.
Yeah.
Whereas season five is when they finally get the floor flipper to the point where it literally throws robots.
And then you get the reboot floor flipper, which is incredible.
Well, yeah, because that thing just goes off on its own accord. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not there as a...
It's an actual hazard rather than a punishment.
Yeah. Yeah, so you need to watch where you're driving in the reboot, because like if you go over that floor flipper, the thing's just going to go bah!
Yeah. So, I think it's quite clear. This episode kind of existed to job everyone to Chaos 2.
Yeah, just, you know... really make Chaos 2 look amazing. I mean, like, I would argue that it probably would have looked amazing regardless of who it was in the arena with.
But,
because, I mean
it's...
Kind of spoiler for the whole season, but I don't think Chaos 2 really struggles at all in this season.
It's... I think it has more difficulties than in Series 3.
Yeah. Maybe I was a slight exaggeration, but...
Well, I think particularly the Stinger fight is a really close run thing when that
yeah,
comes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you're right, actually.
That is us at the end of Episode A, and because it is Robot Wars, that means, because they actually have this in the Robot Wars wikia, hint, hint, BattleBots wikia, guys...
A wiki wiki, wiki wiki, work on your wiki.
We have a trivia section.
Shazam.
So, the first few are about firsts. So, Heat A of Series 4 was the first one where two seeded machines were placed in the heat. It also marked the introduction of the newest house robot, the RefBot. This brought forward the restructured heats with two freeway eliminators rather than... 4 1-on-1 matches, which obviously is then, I think they use similar formats in later seasons. Also featured the second out of the arena flip, and the first time that two robots fought each other in one heat, Chaos 2 and Atomic.
Yep.
By virtue of 1-on-1's pinball run, this was the third time that King Buxton and Team 1-on-1 appeared in the same episode. 1-on-1 and Spawn of Scutter would appear again together in Heat E, with Spawn of Scutter appearing in the pinball.
Wow.
This heat sees the first appearance of pit reporter Julia Reed standing in for Philippa Forrester, who was pregnant at the time of filming. And this is one I quite liked. Heat A was the only heat in the Fourth Wars where the two seeds were the only veterans in the heat.
Interesting.
Which again ties into this idea of, oh no, this is a jobber episode.
Yeah, throw the newbies in there.
It also is one of the highest rate. We're still getting awesome numbers for Robot Wars at this point. It was 4.05 million.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
You forget how popular they were.
I know. Because it was on at the perfect time. It was like on after The Simpsons on a Friday.
Absolutely.
Like it was perfect. It was perfect dinner time television. Well, are we going to do the better than worse then?
Oh, better than worse. I'm sorry. Right. So the overperformer, underperformer, and most improved is kind of difficult. I think overperformer's Medusa because it's sort of just there.
Yeah, it managed to advance to the second round by just sheer luck.
Yeah.
And then even then, like, you could argue that Medusa also, you know, lost to itself as opposed to losing to Chaos 2.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't beaten by Chaos 2, it was beaten by its own bad driving.
So, underperformer... Probably King Buxton, probably, no offence to Atomic, but if you'd had a reliable machine, Atomic was done by that point. The fact it didn't have a weapon. It has some power, but not a lot of power. It's not particularly well armoured. King Buxton should have really been able to win that match.
Yeah, I think King Buxton as well is a good show because when this episode started, despite the fact I'd seen it many times before, I just kind of assumed that it was King Buxton versus Chaos 2 in the final of the show, and it wasn't, so.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's a, it is a hard, you know, Most Improved is probably the one that's impossible because one robot's gone backwards and the others had nothing done to it.
Yeah. You said that the start of the episode, oh, Chaos 2 is shiny again.
Yeah, Chaos 2 is Most Improved because it's now shiny.
Yeah, but then it went out, had three matches, came back backstage and was still shiny because nothing happened to it.
Yeah, it's...
Chaos 2 was never in danger at any point in this episode.
Yeah, there was no point you actually sat and went, Chaos 2's had to work for this.
Because, sometimes there's fights where, I think mainly it is with Chaos 2, where it's like, it gets flipped over once by somebody, and then Jonathan Pierce like, oh my god, can this be the end of the legendary reign of Chaos 2? And it's like, I don't know, give it a second to try and flip itself over.
Yeah.
And then it flips itself over 9 times out of 10.
Absolutely. So, yeah, excellent. So next week, Heat B, where King Buxton was meant to be fighting against the world champion, Razor.